Will you pray with me? God of hope, when your people were cut off from their land, their temple, their future, you gave them hope through the words of a prophet. Speak to us now with that same hope. Be near to all who are exiled and feel cut off in their own lives, and raise up prophets among us and around us to bring the world a word of hope and a word of justice. In your name we pray. Amen. So I don't know you all very well, and I don't know if you're a congregation that likes to speak up, but we're going to give it a try today. We're going to begin today with a little game of word association. We can do this, I promise. I'll say a word, and you just call out the first thing that comes to mind. So let's warm up. What do you all think of when I say the word water?
Thirst, drink.
Rain. Great. Okay, let's do another word. We're warming up still. How about the word love? Okay, this is good practice for me. I can't hear, so speak it up loudly.
Marriage.
Heart.
Inclusive.
Comfort. I love it. All right, so let's we're ready. And let's focus on the words related to today's scripture. What words come to mind when you think of the word peace?
Tranquility.
Restful. Calm.
Safe.
Relaxation. All right, let's try another word. And when I say this word, I don't mean like the government assistance program. I mean the word. What about the word welfare?
Giving.
Wellness.
Kindness.
Good. I know there were some other words, and I apologize that I didn't hear it. So thinking about these words, what were similar? There was some goodness in that, those. And they're different, right? They have different connotations. And so last week, we heard a promise of a king who would bring us endless peace. And today, God tells a displaced, exhausted people to seek the welfare of the city. Peace and welfare are different English words, and there's some closeness, there's some relationship in them. And here's the twist. In Hebrew, it's the same word. In Hebrew, it's shalom. Not peace as in quiet, not welfare as in programs. Shalom is wholeness, flourishing, communal well-being, justice, healing. Shalom is what God desires for every person, every family, every nation. Today's scripture is about practicing shalom when life isn't perfect. So let's situate ourselves a bit. Our scripture is part of a letter within the book of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is called by God for God's people. Chapter 1, verse 10, the very beginning of the book, spells it out clearly. I appoint you over nations and empires to dig up and pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. So as a prophet, he is called to call out the wrongdoings of the people. So that's the digging up and pulling down part, the destroying, demolish, and to give hope for a new future. That's the build and plant part. All throughout the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is doing this. And today's scripture is doing the same. Listen for both, the building down and planting up. When we meet God's people in Jeremiah 29, they've been carried off to Babylon. Everything familiar has been torn away. Their routines are shattered, sense of control gone, and into that disorientation, Jeremiah sends a letter reminding them that God has not abandoned them. Even in exile, God is present and calling them toward hope. Right from the opening lines, God moves the people toward shalom and tells them, build houses, plant gardens, marry, have children, promote the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray for the Lord, for because of that, your future depends on its welfare. I don't know about them, but I would not want to be working towards goodness for the people who have moved me into exile. But God is telling them. And God tells them, don't wait it out. Don't escape. Don't fight your way home, but live fully right where you are. Because shalom is not something you wait for, it's something you practice. And God meets us in the hard places. I have two teenagers at home. Good transition there. Hard places to teenagers. They are 14 and 16. They're very active in scouts. Anybody do scouts when they were younger? And so I spend a lot of weekends outdoors, often in weather I did not choose. Some trips are wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous weather. And some trips are character building. The ones with relentless rain, the blistered heels, sore calves, and big emotions. 14 and 16, big emotions. There are times when it always seems like everything is falling apart. And yet, without fail, something holy always happens. Night falls. Campfire is lit. Faces glow in the ember light. Stories come out. Songs begin. Their hearts are softened. Somehow, in the middle of exhaustion and frustration, these young people bloom, and they bloom together. Not after the trip is over, but in the struggle itself. It reminds me, God never waits for perfection. God meets us in the wilderness and helps us to grow in hard places. And Jeremiah is not sending a letter to weekend wanderers. The exiles aren't on a tough scout trip. No, they were living in ongoing trauma. They're uprooted, disoriented, forced into a land that they did not choose. Their story echoes the stories of many people today, such as refugees fleeing war. They are families escaping disaster, parents seeking safety for their children. Refugees are a modern form of exile as people are forced to leave their home to try to create a new life in a place they did not want to go. Throughout Scripture, God's heart is tender towards those far from home. A young Moses, Hagar, Ruth, and Jeremiah reminds us if we seek shalom, we must look for the compassion on anyone living far from home. Shalom grows whenever we make room to settle in and hold on to God's hope. And it's precisely at that moment when the people are longing for a quick fix that the false prophets that Jeremiah warns them again. And Jeremiah offers the word no one wants to hear. This isn't going to be quick. The people are warned. Don't listen to those false prophets. God declares this exile will last 70 years, long enough that the people must build real lives rather than hold their breath waiting for escape. Exile won't be over in a moment or a season or even a generation. It's as though God is saying, don't pause your life. Don't wait for conditions to subside. Keep going. I'm still working. Jeremiah is reminding the people of God to refuse easy answers and trust in God, long work towards goodness and hope for all, shalom for all people. So in the Jewish tradition, turning the gem means looking at scripture from many angles that allows the light to catch new facets. In essence, we're turning the gem of shalom that we talked about at the beginning of the sermon. Shalom is not that personal tranquility or inner calm. It's justice restored. Those broken relationships healed, communities made whole. Peace rooted in righteousness. Welfare for all, not for some. If we want peace on earth, we must pursue the welfare of all, because our flourishing is tied to the flourishing of our neighbor. As our John Wesley said, there is no holiness but social holiness. For Wesley, the love God grows in us must become love we offer for others. Faith and mercy always go hand in hand. Jeremiah agrees. Our welfare is bound up in the welfare of our city. And in Hebrew, the word you in Jeremiah is plural. God is not speaking to lone individuals climbing their own ladders. God is speaking to a people, y'all. It's spoken to a community learning to hope together. Because God's future is a y'all future, not a you alone future. And so consider Jimmy C. Gardner. Jimmy C. Gardner, Mr. Gardner, is a black man who spent 27 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. 27 years of exile, separated from family, opportunity, his life. And so if anyone had reason to come out hearted or hopeless, it was Mr. Gardner. And when he was finally exonerated, he could have disappeared to live his life, his quiet life, what was left for himself. He could have collapsed into bitterness and anger. But he didn't. Instead, he said, I won't just survive, I'll serve. And he meant it. Instead of walking away from the pain he endured, he walked toward the pain of others. He created the Gardner House Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to supporting people who have been recently released, wrongfully convicted, or affected by racial injustice in the criminal legal system. His foundation provides advocacy, mentorship, education, community resources. He visits with families whose loved ones are incarcerated. He speaks to youth about justice and responsibility. He raises awareness wherever he goes. And in his words, I believe that individuals have encountered disparities. So I fight for all those who don't have voices. This isn't how he planned his life to be. And yet, his life is full of purpose and hope. Do you hear the echoes of Jeremiah in that story? Seek the welfare of the city, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Gardner didn't just step back into society. He stepped back as a builder, a planter, a seeker of shalom. He became someone who, out of his own suffering, labors for the healing of others. That is Jeremiah 29 in flesh and bone. That is what it means to plant gardens in the most unlikely soil. That is what it looks like when someone chooses not mere survival, but transformation. Not bitterness, but justice. Not isolation, but community repair. And sometimes it looks like an innocent man deciding to rebuild the world that once broke him. For the exiles in Jeremiah, there is future with hope. After all the building and planting, after all the living and seeking, God tells them to stay connected through prayer and seeking. As theologian Walter Brueggemann asserts in his book, The Prophetic Imagination, prophecy cannot be separated very long from doxology, or it will either wither or become ideology. We have to stay in relationship with God in order to remain hopeful and not despair. We have to stay in relationship with God so we know how to build, how not to listen to the false prophets. And in verse 14, God says through Jeremiah, "When the time is right, I will bring you all back. I will gather you all up. I will restore y'all. I will give y'all a future with hope." Not a shallow, Pinterest-worthy future and hope. It's not a feel-good slogan. This is not about winning the lottery or landing your dream job. This is not an individualistic wish list. That doesn't speak to the real life suffering and the ways we are connected to each other. Instead, this is about a future hope. Justice restored in relationships. It is about systems made right, communities healed after generational trauma. And I hope you know, you are part of that collective hope. God says the exile will not define you all forever, and I'm not finished with you all yet. Jeremiah 29 is not about escaping exile. It's about witnessing in exile. On this Reign of Christ Sunday, we proclaim a king whose reign looks like restoration, not domination, healing, not triumphalism, justice, not apathy, and hope, not resignation. And while we wait for the fullness of Christ, our calling is the same as the exiles. We are not called to deny Babylon, not to become Babylon. We are called to witness in Babylon. You are called to plant gardens, to build communities, pursue justice and compassion, pray for the welfare of our cities, and embody hope. All of this is building shalom. And in this,